Good. We have had an interesting week. The Lord has shut some doors and he's opened some doors, and we're thankful because we can hear him. Do you know what I mean? Like, there sometimes it's like ceiling, ceiling, ceiling. But then when you know you hear from him, it's like, oh, thank you, God, for speaking. And so it's been that kind of week for us. And when I mean open and closed, I mean open and closed. Like, it's been very amazing, actually, for us. And so as we get started today, I've been studying in 1 Kings. And in 1 Kings, there's a whole 15 or 16 chapters of not much good news. But then when, what's the prophet? I'm sorry, I can't remember his name.
Starts with J?
Yeah. Doesn't it? Yeah.
Isaiah? Or
no.
Elijah?
Maybe it's Elijah. Is it Elijah?
Anyway,
Elijah. It's Elijah. Sorry. It had a J in it. I was close. Anyway, when he comes on the scene, after having all of that really bad, you know, bad stuff happening, because there was king after king after king that was not serving God and taking God's people away from him, from God, I mean, Elijah comes on the scene and he is like almost mad, like he's taunting the people because they have allowed themselves to be so pulled away, so drawn away. And so it's Elijah against the 450 prophets of Baal, and he is in a verbal battle with 450 people, and it's just him. And he wins, obviously, because God, the true God, is on his side, and he shows himself mighty. And what I want to say is, sometimes it feels like we're going to be up against almost everybody. It's going to feel like we have nobody in our corner and that we are just alone. But the thing is, God's there. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's going to stick closer to us than any brother ever would. And what I love about that is Elijah did not let his singleness, even though God was with him, he didn't let his singleness deter him from what he knew was the truth. And so we're going to be talking about truth today. So as we begin to worship this morning, I just, we've heard that all week, worship in spirit and in truth. And we just can't say it enough. Worship the way God wants you to worship. Worship the way that you know is what will please him from you as an individual, not what anybody else looks like. I remember many, many years ago, we shared this church with, because it used to be Church on the Move. It was with Iglesia en Movimiento, and I don't know if I said that right. Forgive me if I didn't, but it was the Spanish version. And they would come in right after our church service, and they would have service. And I remember one time I was standing up in the balcony, and because God had just impressed on me, I need to stay for that service for some reason. I don't even know why. And I was watching the pastor's wife. And she was standing up here. And if any of you have ever met Leticia, she's wonderful. But she had gone through a really rough patch in her life, a really rough time. And as she began to worship, I remember her starting to dance before the Lord. Like she wasn't going to let anything stand in her way of doing what she knew God wanted her to do. And have any of you guys seen river dancing where they hold their arms straight down beside them and then they just move their legs? That's kind of how she did it. So it's so beautiful. And you could tell it was totally like a God thing because she probably doesn't normally dance like that. But what I'm trying to say is she didn't, the whole room was full and nobody else was dancing. And I'm thinking, what a brave woman, you know, like how many of us would do that? But you know what? That I'm sure, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that touched God's heart so much because she did what she knew God was asking her to do, even in the midst of her pain of losing a baby. She danced before the Lord. So today, let's do it with spirit and truth, guys. Do it like God's asking you to do it. And don't worry about anybody standing around you. Just worship Him. Let's stand and let's begin to worship and let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for today, God. We're thankful because we get to worship You. We have the choice. We've made the choice and now we get to do that.
Yes.
And so, Father, I pray that it be pleasing to You, however that looks. If it's someone that bows or someone that raises their hand or someone that raises their heart, God, be pleased. Be pleased with our worship today, Lord. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your provision. We thank You for open doors and shut ones. Lord God, we thank You in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. Yes, there is. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Let the power of His name set you free this morning.
All submission, sacrifice, so free. Such a price, bought our redemption, heaven's gates swing wide. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is
song we just sang is a very powerful song. And I want to tell you, many years ago when my husband and I first moved up here to Washington, we just had two little girls. And Tim was working at Pizza Hut trying to support us. And we lived in Kellogg's Corner in Sunnyside, and he had to drive all the way in to Sunnyside to work at Pizza Hut. Well, one day this man smashed into my husband and took off. And my husband, being my husband, took off after him. And many people saw it, so cops were called. And my husband slammed his car to pull the other guy over. And this guy gets out of his car and he pulls a knife on my husband. And he's like, "It's just you, SA, who is going to back you up?" And the next thing I know, my husband said that he knew. He heard this voice behind him say, "It's all of us, dude." And he turned around and all these men had stopped and were standing behind my husband. And when we're singing that song, that's what I imagine in my head. That's what the vision I was seeing was, when we say there's an army rising up, when we're standing by ourselves and we think everything around us is closed, but there's an army rising up behind us. You know, we know that God stands before us, but we don't always see that. We're always thinking, "Who's got my back?" Well, there's an army that's got our back. There's an army that, you know, we're surrounded by the heavenly angels and by God's protection. And so what we can't see in front of us, it's also coming up behind us and it's coming up around us. And sometimes we fail to see that. And I, you know, and that's what I was seeing when we were singing that song, was that we need to remember that when we feel like we're alone, there's an army behind us.
Of the sweetest of love. So I just want to make sure that when we do sing it, don't just sing the words. Please don't just sing the words this morning. What I want you to do is, as you are looking, if you have to not even sing, read those words and start to let it become a reality to you that your very life, your very breath that you're taking is Him. That it's not just because you're in church this morning, but when you're at home and you're getting up in the morning, that first breath that you take, it's Him. He's your life. He's the reason that you exist. And even in that, you live and you move and you have your very existence in Him. And so when we sing the part that I'm desperate for you, you know, whatever you have to do, if you have to picture, you know, yourself running to the Lord, or You have to picture yourself falling on your face. If you have to fall on your face, whatever it is, just make sure that you're connecting with this song this morning, because I believe this is like a key song to shift something in the spirit this morning, that it's gonna open something up. So thank you, Jesus.
You are my daily bread.
we are desperate for you this morning. We're hungry for you. Lord, even if our natural beings don't feel that way, Lord, we know that our spirits are willing. So, Lord, we pray that you would make up the difference, Lord, in our naturalness, Lord, with your empowerment, your supernatural empowerment, Lord, to be truly hungry for you. Let the Spirit of God stir us and draw us, Lord, to deeper waters. To a more closer, intimate walk with you. Teach us what intimacy is, Lord. Help us to be, Lord, released from previous mindsets and understandings and traditions. Help us, God, to view you afresh and anew this morning. To see you in your glory. To see you in your power and your wonder, your splendor. Thank you, Lord, that we're in the house. That we're not standing on the outside looking in, Lord, but we have our place in you. Our habitation, Lord, our existence is in you. Let us not take that for granted. Let us not sell it short. Let us put the value and the effort and the desire into it, Lord, that it's worthy of. You have purchased us. You have bought us. You have redeemed us. But not just so that we could be saved from some destruction in the future, Lord, but so that we could be yours once again. Fully, fully able to come before you and come before your love and experience all the goodness that you have for us. Thank you, Jesus. We rest in you this morning.
Desperate for you, and I'm lost without you.
So, how many are sensing in you, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but like a fresh kind of like desperation or hunger stirring? Mm-hmm. And not just because of this service this morning. You know, when we gather together as a body, we don't just gather as individual, you know, people, and we kind of come together and we kind of homogenize for a little bit, then we go away and we all, you know, separate. You know, we're a family. And when the faith family is together, our faith is like multiplied and added together. And so what we are limited sometimes in our own expression at home by ourselves or even as a family gets multiplied, because it's not just my faith and it's not just your faith, but it's our faith. And it's his faith in us being activated. And where I'm weak, you may be strong. And where you're strong, I'm maybe weak. I'm weak twice, but that's okay. I'm the least among the brethren, as they say. But the point being is that we make up each other's weaknesses and strengths. And as our hearts unify in a desire to see him be all that he can be in each of our lives, not just in our own, but in each other's, that we prefer each other, that when one is excelling and growing and coming closer to the Lord and has a testimony or has something they share, and it's something that is a reality that's in their life, it affects us. It doesn't just affect them. And so as we rejoice and you know, get excited in it, it adds to the faith and the dynamics the entire meeting. Mm-hmm. So when we're worshiping on Sunday morning, even if you're not singing, because I know sometimes, you know, our voices can be either croaky in the morning, or you just, you know, it's hard to maybe even, you know, follow the words or whatever it is. Your heart can still be expressing amazing things to God. You can close your eyes and you can literally be louder than any singer in here in the spirit. That's the beauty of God. I mean, he's not limited to our physical ability to worship him. And so we'll get into that today. But first, Sandra, do you want to say something, or what you're going to be doing? You want me to say it for you, or because you?
That's not a problem.
Okay, shouldn't have a problem. Here you go. Okay. Huh? The Journey Church, yeah.
So it's okay. So Journey Church is going to let us use their little coffee bar, and so I've worked for Lincoln Avenue Coffee Company for like 8 years. So I'm going to bring our coffee and hopefully get that going for us in the mornings. I hopefully want to start it next weekend. So if any of you guys have like any allergies to milk, favorite tea or something, we carry Pike's Place Market Spice Tea. I can bring stuff just so that there's something here for everyone. The prices are going to be really affordable, and it's all going to go directly to the church. I just thought it'd be really cool for us to have that here. Everybody drinks coffee. I can see it everywhere. So I
right
figured
here.
It'd be nice if we could all have it here.
Lovely.
Yeah. Thank you for doing
that. Yeah, Lord put that on your heart, and that's awesome. Thank you.
You better not.
Yes, thank you. And Journey Church being very gracious and letting us use their coffee bar, that's awesome.
Yeah, because we don't start up until 10:45. I mean, yeah,
they'll be ready for 10:30. Okay, you'll be here by what? Okay, so you guys want to get here at 10, and we can start filling
we'll
the church early. That'd be like awesome.
Are you looking for people to help volunteer?
I think right now I can manage, and Elena's going to help me, so I think for right now we'll be good.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Perfect.
But in the future.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Okay.
Oh, yeah, Panda, come on up.
Okay, so it's been bugging me a little bit, something that I've been just didn't really notice it until maybe the end of 2017. January 2017, you know, something, I don't know what I was thinking, what I was doing, but it does have to do with tithing and our 10% and stuff. And my heart's racing because it really hit me this, like, really hard. I always wanted to see if things were real or if things were true, you know, about the whole giving and you get more. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop doing my 10%. I want to see if it's true, if I'm going to notice anything. Well, as time went by in 2017, you know, financially, I was fine. I was like, man, is this real? I mean, is this really real? Like, have I been doing my 10% this whole time and it wasn't real? You know, like, hey, it didn't hit me, you know, like financially. I was like, okay. And then as the end of the year started going, you know, we started running up to the end of December, I was like, something told me, like, and I know it was God telling me this, and I remember talking to my husband about it, because I feel very convicted. Because I know I let the enemy in. I let the enemy get a hold of my thoughts and everything. But he's like, you've lost your relationship with me. And slowly I did notice that. My spiritual walk, my spiritual thinking, everything. So financially, I was set. I was fine. You know, we make enough money. Yeah, I don't live in a mansion and stuff like that. But we're good. Financially, you know, I can help. I can do things. And but man, my spiritual walk really bit big ones last year. I was like, whoa, that's what God was telling me. So all I can say is don't test those waters, because it's not worth losing that relationship with God at all. It really isn't. I second-guessed everything that I've learned and everything that I was taught, you know, through my life. You know, give your 10%. You know, you'll see yourself grow. You know what? For a long time, I did, like, financially. You know, I was giving my 10%, just giving my 10%, just like nothing. And it was hurting back then, you know, because I didn't make a lot of money. I lived on a budget, like penny to penny to penny. And then I got a point in my life where it wasn't a big deal. And it's like, where's my growth? What's going on? You know, like, I'm not seeing anything anymore. I'm giving my 10%, and I'm not getting no more. You know, like, financially, I'm fine. I don't need no more money. You know, like, we're okay. You know, I don't want to be rich. I just want to be okay. And then God came knocking at me and telling me, girl, you know, your relationship with me is different. You know, you don't seek me anymore. You don't talk to me anymore. You don't cry anymore. You don't worship on the way to work anymore. It was crazy. It was like the little things he was throwing at me. And then I remember telling my husband, like, you know, I feel really convicted. You know, I'm very, very convicted that I haven't been doing it. So today when Pastor gave me my envelope, I didn't even want to open it. I was like, oh, here comes conviction again, just smacking me really hard. It's like, I got to say something, you know, like I have to. So basically, you know, my mom grew up on assistance and everything. Even with a little bit of $200 she would give, she would give up that $200 a month that she had to raise 6 kids on her own. I have way more than $200 a month. So I was just, I don't know, I just encourage everybody to give your 10%. If financially, you know, it's going to be spiritually where it's going to hit you. And you don't want it to hit you spiritually. So I just encourage you to give your 10%, even if it's just off a little bit what you can give. Give to the church, either anything. It does build your relationship with God, even if it's not financially. It's in other ways.
Wow, that's powerful. When you were saying that, Panda, it was challenging me in some areas. But it's the principle of where your treasure is, there your heart is also.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of us, and I think this is why God designed, designed tithing this way, is so that it would create a doorway for our relationship to grow. And not that God can't bless you aside from tithing, because I mean, he's God. I mean, he loves us, and he, you know, but it's almost like it's a way for us to open a door. It's kind of like a key again, to open a door to constantly keep our heart in the right place, you know. And for some, you know, that is extremely necessary. And obviously for you, it made a huge difference in your heart. Even though you love the Lord, it's like it just was like a disconnect, mm-hmm, almost, mm-hmm, from the ability to pursue him. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in other ways, I'm sure all of us could relate in certain ways. But thank you for being transparent and vulnerable. And we love you. We love you guys. And, you know, whether you give or not, that's really between you and God. That's why we don't push it here. You know, we don't take an offering. An offering is a gift. And I had someone the other day tell me, why don't you teach on tithing? And, you know, it has been a long time since I've taught. So maybe one of these Sundays I'll teach on tithing. And, you know, my view of tithing has totally changed. When I was with Pastor Ken, every Sunday I gave a tithing message. Every Sunday, up to 10 minutes long. So you guys remember, for those who would, you know, I mean, I have all the scriptures. I have all the, you know, the types and shadows of the past and all that stuff. But really what it boils down to, it's about your heart, folks. Mm-hmm. It's all about our heart. It's about what we're going to talk about today. It's about how do you want to worship the Lord? Do you want to worship him in spirit and in truth? And sometimes that requires finances. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it doesn't. But I can tell you, based on my own personal experience, being a tither was good for me. God knew what he was doing when he established tithing for me. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, I really need to repent right now, because I was doing things that I have been challenged by the Lord, and very similar. And when you were talking, I mean, it's like we're transparent here, guys. This is not, I'm not anything special, you know, and when we took our salary went away here, Gay and I talked, and we just said, you know, I guess what we could do is we could not tithe. That would help make up for it. And so we did that, and in agreement. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the Lord maybe at one time was telling me to tithe, and I talked to her, and I didn't really tell her, you know, what, let's seek the Lord together. It was more like a practical thing. But you know, Panda, I'm the same way. As you were talking, I realized that for almost a year now, I've been saying, Lord, what is going on? Where's the fire? Where's the drive? And not that I don't love the Lord, not that I don't pursue him, not that I don't read my word, not that I don't prepare, not that I don't meet with people, but I'm telling you, something happened, and I think that was it. So we both learned a lesson together.
I came across a saying this week, and I may not get the order correct, but it goes something like this. How I serve is how I sow. How I tithe is what I owe. That's from God's standards. And what I give is how I grow. And I'm like, slam, slam, slam. It just hit me. And that all of this has come up. Panda, this is not an accident. I truly believe this was God's direction for you to speak to your pastors, even. Not that we were doing what we did out of spite. I mean, we weren't getting paid by the church, and so we talked, and the little bit of money we bring in would not have been a lot. But in the heart of things, in the giving of things, in the sowing of things, it's a lot. It's a lot. Wow.
Yeah. And again, this is the thing. I don't want to make tithing here like a requirement.
Yeah.
I don't want to make you guys feel like, oh man, I got to give, because if I don't give, I'm going to feel guilty, or, you know, that's not the goal here. The goal is our own relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And Panda, when she was telling you to tithe, she's saying, this is what's worked for me. This is what's been amazing in my life. And I, you know, I can give testimony of miracles that have happened. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we haven't had, like you said, finances have been fine. But what if that's the key to what I've been asking for the whole time? What's going on, Lord? You know?
Oh, God, forgive us.
You see, guys, we have to be real. We if we're not real, then why do we even gather?
What are we doing here?
Yeah, well, I mean, if we're going to come here and we're going to just, you know, perform with some message or sing a group of songs and get through and then check off Sunday and not be real about what's going on in our lives, in our hearts, then we're short-circuiting the move of God. And I really want to see a move of God that frankly, that would be historical, at least in our own lives. Something that, you know, 5 years from now or 10 years from now, you look back and you say, wow, God, you did something amazing. And no one will take credit for it. I won't be able to take credit for it, because it's going to be him. It's going to be totally him. Does anyone have anything
Panda,
else
thank
to share?
You yeah, thank for your you. Obedience. Honestly, I mean, you have set us on a course, sister, and you were used by God today. Thank you.
Okay, praise the Lord. All right, so you want to go and start reading, babe, and we'll try to get through this if we can.
We're back on John 4, starting at verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I might not thirst again, nor come here to draw."
So this was last week's message, and it was on living water. And as we've talked about before, we're going through the book of John. We're finally in chapter 4. And today we're going to talk about true worshipers and what that means. What does it mean to be a true worshiper? Which I'm still trying to figure out. So go ahead and keep reading.
John 4:16-24 says, "Jesus said to her, 'Go call your husband and come here.' The woman answered and said, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said to her, 'You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one with whom you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
Spirit and in truth. So this is of course an amazing exchange. First of all, this woman, in her mind, should have never been talking to this man, or he should have never been talking to her, a woman, much less a Samaritan woman. And what ends up happening is that because he lets her know what he has to offer her, she's interested and she wants it. And he says, "Hey, you know what? Go get your husband. You know, let's not just share this with just you. Go get your husband." It's like, "Oh, well, I don't have a husband." He goes, "That's right. You've had five husbands and you're now living with the guy and he's not your husband." And he's not saying that to condemn her. He's saying that to reveal to her who he is. And immediately she gets, and you remember she was kind of religious last week, she gets religious with them and she goes, "Yeah, hang on a second here. Get it back here. The intimacy and no husband." Okay. Okay, here it is. Yes, the woman says, is it 19? Oh, the woman said, "I perceive." Do I have that right? Yeah. "I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and the Jews say that Jerusalem is a place where one should worship, one ought to worship." And so she's saying, "So you're a prophet. Answer this question then. The Jews keep saying that we have to worship in Jerusalem, but we worship God here. We worship God in our location. We worship God, you know, with our hearts here. And so which is right?" is what she's asking him. And Jesus says, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." And so what he's saying is that things are changing. You know, daughter of the King, daughter of God, things are changing, and it's not going to be the way it always was. And, you know, I would say that that's kind of what we're in as the body of Christ now. Things are changing. And we have, for the longest time, made Sunday morning the worship hotspot. And we've made the activities in the church, whether it be the nursery or whatever you want to call it, all the ministries and everything, the hotspot, or even the outreach, whatever you want to call it. And God is saying now to us, believe me, the hour's coming when you're neither going to worship just in this house or, you know, in some other religious setting, because the Father's seeking worshipers. See, that's who we are. We're sons and daughters, but we're worshipers. I mean, if we were to have like a job description, first thing would be to be sons and daughters, to be the children of God. Folks, that's a chore all on its own, because most of us are still tied and connected to every other earthly substance here, and we don't know how to receive God as our full source, as our Father of fathers, who sees everything, sees the sparrow fall, has our hairs numbered, and is able to, when we're seeking him, cover every other thing in our life. I don't know what that means. I mean, I don't know if that truly means that. Some people say, oh, it doesn't mean going into a room and praying and, you know, and seeking God, or going, you know, you got to still work, or you don't work, you don't eat. But what if somebody's really seeking the God in full righteousness after him with all their heart, doesn't work, and they're just wanting him to be their source? Could it be something that he's just going to fill there? I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying we've naturalized all of his promises so much so that they make sense to our carnal mind, that, and leaned on our own understanding, our own reasoning, that even we can't even fully dedicate ourselves to him because there's still the limitations of life. But that's not what he says. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. Everything else is added. Everything else is taken care of. I'm not telling you to go do that. I'm just telling you, let's quit bringing his promises down to earth and making them so that we can make sense out of them. Because his promises are spirit and they're life. They're not to make sense necessarily in this natural realm. If they do, that's a bonus. But they're from him, and he is spirit.
The sin of the church is that we've tried to make it palatable, where we can swallow it.
Palatable or understandable, right.
Yeah. I almost feel like God's saying, swallow anyway, dude, you know, like take it anyway. You may not understand everything, but when you need to, you will, because I'll tell you. And we've just gotten so, like, if one of us would have broke out like Pastor Letitia did and started dancing before the Lord, how many of us would have been so caught up with her dancing and, ooh, she's dancing in church, and, ooh, well, nobody does that in church. And we would have started judging, some of us. And
or,
God's like,
or entered in. Some may would have.
Some may have entered in. But that's what God is saying.
I don't think as many
from now on.
Now, thank the Lord.
We don't need it to be palatable for you. Just take it.
Yeah.
Take it for what it's worth. It's your very life, your forever life. It's everything that you're going to need, because this little bitty life here is only that much of the whole scheme of things. And how much effort are you putting in to eternity? Crickets. I just heard,
I know,
crickets.
You have a way of just like cutting to the chase. I mean, it's like, whoa, I'm feel convicted now. So you worship what you do not know. He's speaking to her. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now this week we learned that Jesus actually said, for Yeshua is of the Jews, which is, you could say, for Jesus is of the Jews, because Jesus' name is Yeshua in Hebrew, and it means salvation. So he's saying, for Yeshua is of the Jews, or salvation is of the Jews. I am of the Jews. I am your answer. But then he says to her, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those worshiping him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So what does this word worship mean? Let's just take a look at it for a moment. It means, it's proskeno, Gineo. And it means towards, the prose part means to go towards someone to kiss them. That's what it means. So you're motioning towards someone to kiss them. So it's properly to kiss the ground when prostrating before a superior, to worship, ready to fall down, to prostrate oneself, to adore on one's knees. The basic meaning, in the opinion of most scholars, is to kiss. On Egyptian relief worshippers are represented on Egyptians' reliefs, worshippers are represented with outstretched hands throwing a kiss to prose the deity. So now, obviously, we don't do that on Sunday. We're not kissing the floor, thank the Lord, right? For those who are OCD and think about the idea of how many people walked on the floor here. What they've been stepping in, you know what I'm saying? So it's not a physical thing necessarily, it's our heart. And what it, one other concordance gives an interesting take on this word kiss. It can also mean the licking of a dog. Is that making it worse?
Yeah.
Well, if you think about a dog, why is a dog licking someone? Because they love them.
Oh, I thought you meant I would lick a dog. And I like not happening in this life.
No, it's the dog licking you.
Okay, got it now.
Wow, that went wrong. It's the word, it's what it means. Okay. So, okay, we're going there. But the point being is that it's the love of the dog for the master. And it's that unconditional love that dogs give you, right?
Got it. Now I'm following, tracking perfectly.
But the other one was, interesting when we think about it. Okay, let's take a look at this. So right now we're looking at two different gemstones. Yeah, because and one is true and genuine, and one is fake. Or counterfeit, says you don't see, get to see counterfeit there. It's oversizing. And you know what? I think I thought I knew which one was which, and I was wrong. One is a manufactured, man-made one, fake and counterfeit, and one is a diamond that has come from the center of the earth and was created by the diamond creation process. But what I want us to get to is that it's interesting that he says true worshipers, because it's easy to say, oh, I want to be a true worshiper. But what is the opposite of being a true worshiper? A fake worshiper.
So how many vote for the left? How many vote left as the real diamond? Raise your hand.
Only a couple
and
people.
How many vote for the right?
Not many people. Not everybody's voting, but it looks like the right's winning. So, okay.
Which is it?
Oh, we're not going to say it yet.
Oh.
That's like stealing my thunder. We're crying
out
loud. Okay. Here's another one. Anybody seen this picture?
Yep.
You have an authentic one. One's authentic. Another way of saying true or real. Genuine. And you have another one that's an imitation. Somebody copied the original and made this. So when you think about true worship, do we have authentic worship? And do we maybe have imitation worship?
Oh, yeah.
And so what does that mean? Because I got to tell you, years ago, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I read this verse and it came alive to me all over again. And I just started almost weeping. I said, Lord, have I been worshiping you in spirit and in truth? And, I would say that I've been on a journey to be a spirit and in truth worshiper. Because folks, I could come to church on Sunday and I could hoop it up, I could holler it up, I could get excited, I could sing the song, I could sing loud, I could dance, but I was not always worshiping him in spirit and in truth. I would say that there was more soul involved, which was enjoyable, and it's good, clean soul stuff to do, but it wasn't necessarily divinely inspired by my internal being. Does that make sense? Now, there's some Sundays that were, but I'm trying to make it so that 24/7 I could be one that lives a life of worshiping him in spirit and in truth. That's my journey. That's where I'm trying to go. So let's see what this word true means. True means It's the word Alethinos, and it means, it's from the word Alethis, and it means true or fact.
True to fact.
Thank you. Properly true or real. Now this is interesting. It's emphasizing the organic connection or authentic unity between what is true and its source of origin. Now is that ever true about these two things? There's a way of being able to truly know which one is fake. If you can find out what is the source of the origin, if you find out which one of those source of origin comes from the center or the deep in the earth through extreme pressure of that carbon, and it's been over time molded and pressured into that precious stone, or if you can find out the origin, the other ones come from a place of manufacturing in some facility in who knows where.
Right.
Same thing with this painting. If you can find out the origin, don't even have to look at the painting, you find out the origin of the painting, that one comes from the 1700s from a man who's probably known as one of the greatest artists that has ever been, Leonardo da Vinci, you would be able to know which one was real, which one was fake. And so what we need to find out is, where is the origin of our worship coming from?
Oh, yeah.
Is it coming from our influence by, you know, others that we see on TV or that we even see on worship on Sunday? Is it coming from somebody who's standing up there and say, everybody raise your hands, and we all raise our hands, and that's the origin of our worship that day? Is it true? Is it real? Or is it imitation? Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. The origin of our worship needs to come from Him.
That is so good.
See, He is the one that empowers us even to worship Him. And that's the craziness, is that we are not even capable of saying, I worship the Lord. It's God in us,
right,
that to do will and to do of His good pleasure. Even our worship of Him comes from Him. Mm-hmm. The inspiring of our hearts to have a hunger comes from Him. We don't manufacture it. We don't make it up.
Right. So good.
So for those of you who want to know the answer, the cubic zirconian is on the left. So everyone who said on the right was correct. Did you guys get it right?
Nope.
No, you got it wrong, right? It's kind of hard to tell from that picture, but the point being is that our worship needs to be true. Our worship needs to be real. Our worship needs to be something that originates from the source of the Spirit of God that's in us. And so what does that mean? That means that we've got to be somewhat introspective. When we're worshiping, we need to stop. Okay, where is this worship coming from? Where's my response to God coming from? Not just on Sunday morning, when you get up in the morning and you think about that, you know, or you don't think about, but your very existence is in Him, and it exists because He gave you the breath that morning. He gave you the heartbeat that morning. That's a good place, a good source to start with your worship. It's just to realize that your very life is here and you're experiencing another day because of His goodness and His love.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good place to start. I think thankfulness is a doorway to spirit and truth worship. Mm-hmm. I have had my most personally, not in a service or anything, my most amazing worship times with God started with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of times when I didn't feel like thanking Him. Because things were dark. Things were not the way I wanted them to go. And so I started thanking Him in total, you know, basically ignorance of my situation. Say, you know what? I don't care what it looks like. I'm just going to thank Him because I do have breath in my lungs. I am alive.
Mm-hmm.
He has given me a wonderful family. So I start going through those things that are realities. And then even start adding in some of the bad things and start thanking Him for that. And as I did that, it's like I was entering into a realm that was outside of my normal circumstances. I was entering into the Spirit, and I was able to seek Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's who the Father's looking for. He's not looking for people to go through the motions. I mean, if the motions get you to the reality of really worshiping him, then I would say go through the motions. Mm-hmm. But don't live in just going through the motions. Life's too short.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I remember one time when we were counseling a couple that their marriage was in dire straits. Like they could barely look at one another, and they sat like the chairs that were in the office were like this, and they went like this. Like they moved the chairs before they even sat down. Like it was bad. It was really bad. And they didn't look at each other, and they barely would speak to us. And I remember God saying to me, give them this one thing to do, homework. This is your homework. And this is what I said. Every day, preferably at the beginning of the day, say something that you're thankful for about the other one. And they're like, oh, I'm not thankful for anything. Like they were really in bad shape. And it's, well, I'm thankful that you chose me to marry you. Or I thank you for the way you provide for our family. Or, you know, thank you that we were able to go to bed last night without another argument. Or whatever it is. One thankful thing. Just one thankful thing. And if you have to repeat it the next morning until your heart feels that it's true and then God gives you something else, do that. But your homework is to find one thankful thing a day to say thank you for. And honestly, we saw such a change in them because they started looking for good instead of looking for bad.
And they applied that homework.
And they applied their homework. They applied it. And that's what we're saying about worship, is that we need to start with thanksgiving, that we even have a voice to speak with or sing with and worship him. Some people cannot talk. Some people have lost the ability to verbalize a thing. But do you remember that story that I told you guys about that one little old lady that had dementia or Alzheimer's really, really bad? And they started using a music program for her, and they started singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And they sang it to her. And pretty soon her little hands started clapping with them singing, and pretty soon she started mouthing the words, because the true worship within her was worshiping the true God. And it didn't matter that she had not spoken for years, guys. That's what God's telling us about our hearts and the condition where our heart is at. We need to have it be true. We need to have it be a spirit, because that's what was coming out of her, not regular conversation. It was the spirit of who she was. Jesus loves me. I know it. And the Bible tells me so, but I really love him too. Like you could see her going there. And that's what we need to do in the morning time. Thank you, God, that, you know, I was able to get out of bed. It might have been a little rough right there at first, you know, creak, creak, groan, groan, moan, moan. But I did get up. I did. I got up. Thank you, God, that I have hot water in my shower, because I could have been taking a cold one.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, that we have a warm church to come to, because some people's electricity has been turned off. I mean, we can find it if we look. We really can.
It's not as dark as it looks.
It isn't. And it's really, truly where you're looking. If you're looking at the good, you're going to find the good, you guys.
Yeah. That's good. Jesus said in Matthew 15:7-9, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So that's the key. Where is your heart? Is your heart centered on him, or is it far from him? And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. See, that's another key in true worship, is that just fulfilling a bunch of rules isn't worship. You know, and just you know, keeping, you know, your life to the place where you can say, yep, I've done nothing wrong, you know, but your heart inside could be like dead man's bones. And Isaiah 29:13 says it this way. Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. So see, it's like there's a removing. And like, again, where your treasure is, and your treasure could be your time, could be your finances, could be your job. Yeah, I mean, but I'm saying, but the treasure that you put in so that you're connecting with the Lord and you're not removing your heart from him. I mean, that's hard for anybody to say, yeah, I'm removing my heart from God. But I think sometimes we do that without thinking because we're not purposefully, prayerfully worshiping. We're not making our worship be something that isn't just rote and isn't just through repetition, but it's with purpose and intent and desire. That's why, and I'm desperate for you. It has such a cry in it because even if you don't feel that way in your natural, guys, your spirit is hungry. That's why you're here today. That's why a lot of you are like, oh man, I'm so tired this morning. I can hardly get up. And you know, you think, well, I'm dragging myself here because it's the right thing to do. No, that's your spirit helping you get beyond your own natural strength or willingness. And then it says here, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. This is another way that it was written. Jesus put it, but so our fear of God comes from the doctrines and the ideologies that others have told us to have, instead of our fear being the fear of the one who is the one who has created us. It's just that simple. He is our maker, he is our father, and he loves us, and that should inspire our fear. Our fear should not be because of outside people's influence on us to have a fear for God. That's why the old messages where they say, you're going to go to hell if you don't. I mean, the problem is they're wrenching people's arms to come to God. It's totally against the principles of God because God wants us to come with what? Willing hearts. Now, granted, some of those people got saved and finally gave a willing heart freely to him. But God wants us to willingly give everything that we give to him. I mean, this is just a quick example, but how many people have had or seen a situation where two kids get in an argument and you tell the one to say he's sorry to the other? You're going to say you're sorry to him. I'm sorry. Like, okay, that's, there's no heart in it. No, you're going to really say it. I'm sorry. And, you know, you can tell there's no heart in it. Yeah. Be better to say, go pray for 2 hours, get it, and then come back and say you're sorry. Or go in your room and sit until you're really ready to have a restored relationship. See, that's the heart. That's that heart issue that is supposed to be the reality of who we are. How does that saying go, Joe? I hope I get it, because Joe was going through the list, and the Lord gave him something, and I think he said, "My new reality is the truth." Is that what it's like? Am I close to it? How does it go? My new reality, my new reality of everything is the truth, and so. How about our new reality of worship being truth now? And, you know, I'm saying this because it's so important. I mean, it's more important, guys, than you coming here on Sunday mornings. It really is. It's more important than you doing anything else for God, which would be considered part of our Christianese. Or our Christian walk is being real with God. He would prefer someone being real more than being self-righteous or someone that has it all together. That's why that guy in that that testimony or parable or whatever Jesus is saying, the man beating his chest at the front of the church, a sinner, knows he's a sinner. God, forgive me. Man, my ways have been crooked. I've been bad. I mean, I'm so sorry. Just forgive me. Help me to make it right. And I mean, he may go out and still be struggling. And yet the guy in the back, I thank you, Lord, that I'm so righteous. I come to church every day. I go, he was going to the synagogue. You know, I tithe. And he had all these things that he could rattle off that apparently to him, from man's outside influence, told him that he was worshiping. And Jesus says, well, which one was justified, though? Which one was right before God that day? The sinner beating his chest, who was still probably going to go out and struggle, but he's being real with God. So let's be true worshipers. That should be worshipers. That really came across bad, didn't it?
Look up here. It's too big, too.
And oh, yeah, I know.
1P.
1P?
It's supposed to be 1P.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought I clicked on the...
Isn't it 1P, Jesse?
Yes.
Worshipper?
Yes. Worshipper. I think it's 2Ps because I think I was using spell check.
I have something to read.
Okay, well, this is important. Forget the dynamics of,
grammar.
Analytical.
Okay, yeah. So this is food for thought for us to go on for the week, okay? One Sunday morning during service, a 2,000-member congregation was surprised to see two men enter, both covered from head to toe in black and carrying submachine guns. One of the men proclaimed, "Anyone willing to take a bullet for Christ, remain where you are." Immediately, the choir fled, the deacons fled, and most of the congregation fled. Out of the 2,000, only about 20 remained. The man who had spoken took off his hood, looked at the preacher, and said, "Okay, Pastor, I got rid of all the hypocrites. Now you can begin your service. Have a nice day." And the two men turned and walked out.
Maybe it's one of those words that can
subjective.
Go both ways.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I use the spell
but
checker.
But if one was up there, we might have the whole word on the screen. Just saying.
That's probably truth right there. Worshiping is 2Ps.
Worshippers is 2Ps.
Oh, plural.
Worshippers is 1P.
Oh, it's stupid English. Yeah, I just hate those rules. Oh, yeah, I had arguments with so many teachers about this is not
worshipers.
This is not a rule that's following all of the categories. This is an exception. We should not have exceptions.
Does anybody else have anything to add? Anybody?
Not about English, though, but it's it. Anyone? Yes. You want to come on up? Okay.
Come on.
Are you
sore?
Come
on, old man.
Oh, no.
Does anybody else have anything they want to say?
Your back is sore?
Oh, good. You can stay up here and Joe and Christine
prayer.
Can
yeah.
pray for
They'll
you.
Have to come up.
It was like somebody kicking him back to it.
Oh, yeah. We got to get that under control. Yeah. Bless you, hon. Have a great day.
My alarm was a heel to the back. I guess what I wanted to say is as soon as I got here, I mean, I've been in a grumpy mood all morning. I mean, waking up to like not being able really to move, it just ruined my morning. But it didn't stop me, it didn't stop me from coming. I didn't want it to. I really didn't. I woke up to my alarm and I elbowed over to Cheyenne. I was like, "We need to get out of bed." She's like, "Okay, go." I just laid there and I'm like, "You get up first. I'll be up in a minute." Well, I mean, the what I really like about the true worshiper thing is I've seen it. I've seen the real. I've seen the fake. I've seen the imitation, the emulation. I've seen all of it. And when I got here, I don't like walking down the center aisle just because I don't want people to be like, "Hey, no, focus on them, not me." So I go around, and as soon as I get here, I shake my little cousin's hand, and I look over to one of the truest worshipers I've ever seen in my life. Welcome home, bro.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, you can say something, obviously.
Thank you. Yeah, I grew up with him. He knows me. I know him. I grew up actually with quite a few people that are here. I mean, it's quite a few to me. It might seem like little in numbers compared to the people that used to be here. And that's something I want to point out, is that the numbers here aren't anything close to what I remember. But the faces that I do recognize here that are still here, that those are the true worshipers. Not to say that the faces that were here weren't, because there were. And there were a lot of them. And wherever they are now, I hope God has them where they need to be, because they were true worshipers.
Amen.
This place is so familiar to me. I've been through quite a bit in the last few years, and it's good to be home. The details I'll spare you guys, but I just want to say that everything you guys are saying today, and in the style that you guys are doing it, is so different, but it's so unique. It is real. It is true. And I just encourage everybody that is here to just recognize that. Just to see you guys's, not your guys's, but the hearts of the people here leading you guys. These two are part of the reason that I am who I am. That a good friend of mine that I grew up with can look at me after I've been through and done some of the things that I've done in my life and still tell me I'm one of the most true worshipers. I have yet to see that so much inside myself, but maybe that's part of it. I do know that the good inside of me and the way that I view things and the reason why I can be open is because of Mike, Gaylene, the people who are pastoring before them, my mother. I'm not a perfect person either. I had the same struggle as him actually getting up this morning. I was grumpy. I didn't want to do it. Didn't get up till last minute, but I did, and I'm glad that I did. I just want to tell you guys, thank you guys so much for your prayer, for the absolute true heart that you guys have. I mean, I know that you guys read a letter that I had written to her, you know, but it was explaining to her about where I come from in this church. And I meant every word of that. I do want you guys to know that God is going to do good things inside this church, and he is doing good things inside this church. For the first time in 4 years, I felt the Spirit in a way that I haven't in such a long time. Now, I found myself in jail not too long ago, and God reached me there for the first time in a few years, and I felt him again.
Praise God.
There was the first flicker of flame instead of an ember that had just been underneath the dirt. Snow covered it. But still, where that snow and those moist properties couldn't touch that ember, God somehow just, he ignited it when I was there. And in that, I've been able to gradually come to a point where now I can see coming here that it is God inside of his truest form whenever you can look at somebody and see the good in them. Because I have become cynical in some ways. I can look at most people, and forgive me for putting it out here like this, but not give a damn about what they're going through or what they're complaining about, because the callousness that I've learned to have inside my life. But here I don't feel that. Here that callousness has just been, it's flaked off. I feel soft again, like I felt in worship. I felt, I guess the best way to explain it would be kind of daydreamy, but not daydreamy, but I there's a passion to see things happening inside of me that used to be there, and that's the way I feel him today.
Praise God.
There's a passion. Awesome, like I want to, I guess, spoiler alert, Pastor, you know, I wanted to get plugged in first thing, because I know that if I don't, it's going to be rough. So let me be as transparent as I can with you guys. I need a cell to plug into, as well as if there's something I can do for this church, this is where my heart is.
Okay.
I mean, I was raised here. I mean, this is where God is, and you guys are a big part of that. This is a true church. And it's not because it's a building. It's because this is these are true worshipers, and thank you guys.
Praise God. Thank you, bro. Love you. Welcome home again. Well, praise God. That's definitely unscripted. Praise the Lord. So, Joe and Christine, do you want to come up and are you good to pray for anyone who has any needs at all? Back pain? Any colds? Getting over a cold? We had Zeke here 2 weeks ago. He came and he was feeling horrible still. And basically by the end of the day, you could breathe again. Before that. Amen. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is that don't leave here if you're suffering with something. And if they prayed for you before, you know what? They're not going to get mad at you if you come up again for prayer. It's like sometimes for whatever reason, we were talking about this the other night. It doesn't like cement at a certain moment, but it's like over time, the prayers kind of add up and things start materializing to where you can see it. I don't think there's any time that we don't pray and we don't ask God to do something and in faith that he doesn't do something. But I think it's not, we don't always see the physical results. Maybe we don't see the symptoms go away immediately. But trust, like Zeke said to us at Sogram said, I totally was ready to receive because I knew I would receive. And that is part of our healing. So praise God. God bless you. And I love being in a room with true worshipers. That people are excited to see other people become who God wants them to be and not worrying about someone else outdoing them. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Hey, bless you, brother. Good to see you. You're able to make it, huh?